Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Kyle. It's about 7 days and 3 hours till NFL Christmas, so I'm doing great.
Christmas in April. NFL draft, of course. Everyone's favorite time of year. The college football fans love it because they get to see some of their favorite players progress to the next level. There's just people who all they do is NFL draft. They don't even care about the games in either league. It's just draft. They love it because this is their time to shine. And of course, all this NFL fans be excited to see which new players the league will be receiving, on which teams they'll go to, and specifically on this podcast, as Packers fans, Jesse, you and I are especially paying attention to who the Packers pick in this upcoming draft among these prospects.
Oh, of course.
There's no real Packers news in terms of any players, but there was some pretty significant announcement made. So first off, a little bit of a wrinkle in the schedule this year. The NFL will kick off Thursday night. Defending champs, which I almost forgot for a second, the Chiefs, of course. How could I even remotely forget that? They'll host someone week one in Kansas City. It's funny because they lost to an NFC North team last year. And we'd love for that to happen again. Well, maybe not to that team. I actually was hoping the opposite result would happen. But, you know, let's say the Packers were to be that team. We'd love for that to happen. But the Packers will not play the Chiefs. Now, no schedule has been set yet, but one game has been announced for a specific time. It's on Friday, the first Friday of the season. So the day after the NFL kicks off with that Chiefs game on the Thursday night, the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles will meet in Brazil. So that'll be they're getting the international series started right away. To be honest, I don't mind the early start to the season in terms of like just structurally. Yeah, they've got to travel pretty far, but it's also within time zones that it's not like it shouldn't have the same type of effect as it would traveling to a London and back, like what that does to your body clock. So they go Friday, they can travel back, you know, to the States probably by Saturday. Then they have unless they're playing that Thursday night, the next week, they'll have a full week plus a day before their next game. So I've always found it like part of it is the reward of winning is you get the kickoff game. It's also a bit of an advantage, right? Like everyone wants to get going. You know, every team is going to be hyped up week one. And they just want to get after it and start the season. So have that game as early as possible to give you as much rest before your second game to me seems like an advantage because, you know, there's going to be stretches of the season where everything is going to be really condensed. So why condense it right off the bat? If you can guarantee yourself you start the season with that really stretched out starting, ease yourself into it physically because the grind of the season will come. So don't force it upon yourself, right? It's got to suck to be playing Monday night, honestly, the first week. So I think as a Packers fan, I've rambled a lot about how Friday night is such a great thing. Now, it's not in the States, but I'm also not in the States, so I don't really care about that. But I'm sure some American fans do. But Jesse, what are your thoughts about this Eagles-Packers game in Brazil?
I think it works out great to the Packers' advantage. A lot of what you say to it, listen, it's early in the season, you know, so who cares, right? You're not coming off a rough week the week before, you know. And then you're going to get a little bit of extra time for the next week. I highly doubt they play Thursday night coming back from this game. So they'll probably play on Sunday. So you get your rest. We don't lose a home game. So that's a huge thing for Green Bay Packer fans, especially Green Bay Packers season ticket holders, that we're not losing a home game there.
Unlike the London game, which is the double whammy of not the worst travel for time zone changes, but that was a home game technically for the Packers. So.
Exactly. So, and Brazil loves Green Bay Packers, man. So, I like it. I'm excited, you know, Friday night. So in the spotlight, I'm not sharing the stage with anybody else. I think it's awesome. So get out of the way right away, get that win on the road. Right. So I'm pretty excited.
And I mean, and again, having that game happen means they won't be chosen for other international games, assuming, right. I mean, that might start happening where the team does so well, they might get multiple international games in a season. Other than the Jaguars, no team has had that happen yet. That might be coming as those games expand and you get so many per year that it might be inevitable that multiple teams might have to do it multiple times a season. But for now, it appears you get that Brazil game, you don't have to worry about going to London or Germany or wherever else they want to go to.
Right. And that's great. You know, like you said, you know, you don't have the one time zones away. Green Bay was like one of the last teams to have to go to London. So, hey, let's do one a little bit closer then, because we're what, 0-2 on in the foreign games right now. So let's get a W and let's not do it for a while. So let's go.
That's not a great start. you want to end the season, start the season on a positive, but yeah, we'll you know, hopefully be rooting on a win there as they're over in Brazil. We'll try and yell extra loud at our television so that they can hear us even more. But yes, I mean, I'm used to not being in the same country as them, so this again will feel not that different for me. So I'm not really affected, but I guess to be fair, Jesse, you're not in Wisconsin either, right? So obviously, I think the people. I guess what this really sucks for is Packers fans in Philly, because they thought they might get, we might be able to go see a game in our local city, and they won't. Those are probably the people I feel for the most, because now
they'll get over it.
Well, hopefully we get a win, and that way Packers fans will be happy no matter what, where you are in the world, if you can beat the Eagles there week one. Last episode, we talked about offensive prospects. So rookies coming into the 2024 NFL draft who play in the offensive positions. We did talk a lot about offensive line, briefly mentioned the other positions as well. But I feel like on defense, Jesse, it's more vast because the Packers roster seems really good top to bottom in that there's not one position where you think, okay, that's an absolute hole. But there are still spots where, okay, they could clearly use upgrades. It feels like at defense, you could almost argue they need upgrades at every position, or they could upgrade at every position reasonably. But if they go into what their current team is right now, it's a team that can compete, I think. So, you know, all these picks this year, whether it's on offense or defense or special teams, hopefully not, they should help the team or have a chance to impact the team. So there's a positive, right? They can, it almost frees them to go best player available, specifically if they're picking on defense.
Right. And that's a good thing to happen, right? I think we have playmakers at every level, but to your point, you know, you still need that depth. You need those other guys, you need those role players. And it's a luxury to have, you know, to be able to not be forced into a certain pick. You can pick a guy and go. I think safety, even though with McKinney coming in, you know, we're going to need someone next to him. And, you know, going with an even front, we're going to need some off-ball linebackers also. But I don't think you're forced into those choices, especially in the first round. I don't think those guys are there, but we'll get into that.
And so, well, let's get into it right now, Jesse. What positions do you think they need to prioritize specifically with their first round, which is 25th overall?
So for me, I think you need another corner. And I do like, you know, how Valentine and Valentine played last year. But I think, especially in this class, you can get a true outside corner. Even if it's like the fourth or fifth guy on this list, I think it's that deep. So I think corner's a spot that, you know, it's a premier position also. So Green Bay does like their premier position. So I think corner is definitely going to be in the running there. And you can never go wrong with pass rusher and D-line. So those guys are going to be there also. So I think if it goes defense, it'll be either in the D-line or corner.
For sure.
Or one guy that can play either corner or safety. So
Yeah. If there's a versatile enough defensive back in general that's worthy, that makes sense. But those were the three positions I was going to say. You either go for a corner in the first round or pick a player that will help your pass rush, whether that's on the interior or the outside. It doesn't really matter. What you're looking for is elite talent that you can help. Typically, edge rushers are more valued than defensive tackle. I would almost argue the inside of the line is what needs help. You need that second. You're probably not going to draft Kenny Clark, another Kenny Clark. But if you can get a second Kenny Clark next to Kenny Clark, that would be incredible. And then you could rotate in the sense that you could always have one on the field at all times. They may not play a ton together, but you're ensuring that at least one of them is on the field. They don't have that other dominant interior defensive lineman that they can do that with. So when the third or to quarter of the snaps that Clark isn't playing, that's usually when the defense gets exposed. You need that other player that can help sturdy things. Maybe that's upgrades from a former first rounder like Devontae Wyatt. Does he take a step up to fill that role? Maybe. But I think if they have a chance to address it, I would almost say that's the most important position. But to your point, Jesse, the cornerback position especially seems so deep that they could be able to get an elite talent at that position. So looking at mockdraftdatabase.com, I went to their consensus mock draft, but also looked at their consensus big board at every position. And they have five cornerbacks that are all ranked in the top 32. So all kind of ranked as first round players. And it seems like they're all being mocked there as well. So the way mock draft database works, takes a bunch of mock drafts from basically any site that's doing mock drafts, collects them, puts them all together, and creates a consensus mock draft. So all five of these corners specifically seem to be all being mocked in the first round, and they're all rated by the site and the experts ranking on the site as players who deserve to go in the first round. So it seems like it's a position of need. We've often talked about position priorities, Jesse, and I think you and I seem to agree on it, to be honest, that cornerback deserves to be a top five position in the NFL, and we consider it to be a top five position in terms of importance, right?
Yeah, well, they pay them for a reason, right? If you got guys that can shut down number one receivers and force quarterbacks to look somewhere else, well, guess what? It's nice to have another one of those guys too, because then you can do a lot of different things on defense. So yeah, it's the more the merrier when it comes to corners, especially good ones.
Yeah, I guess the same comment earlier. You're probably not going to draft another Jaire Alexander. Like they maximized those opportunities to draft Clark and draft Alexander, and they've paid them to keep them because it's so hard to get them in the first place. It's tough to anticipate any player you're going to draft is going to be that good. But if you can get a player that's close enough to being as good as those two next to them, a defensive tackle almost as good as Kenny Clark, a corner almost as good as Jaire to play opposite them, that just makes your defense really almost unstoppable. I guess it's very stoppable in terms of they can stop the other team really easily.
Right. And I think the whole key behind this, too, is you got a new defensive coordinator that loves to use his corners to be physical, in-your-face kind of guys. What corner doesn't want to do that? So they might give him his guy. He might get to make this first pick if they like the board. So I just think that's another little, another little wrinkle in maybe which way we go. Looks like they gave him his safety, so they might give him his corner.
Well, and yeah, I think his safety slash, again, Jesse, I think you and I are in agreement. He was the best free agent available, period, any position.
Yeah.
So that we talk about going best player available. If you see that in free agency, like that's where you spend your big money. So that didn't even seem like that was whatever position Xavier McKinney played, if he was the best player in free agency, they would have just signed him, even if it was not a position of need, I think. Hence Josh Jacobs when you had Aaron Jones. Yep. But I won't rant about that further for now, because we're talking defense today. But all to say, the point I was going to make earlier, Jesse, is that the fact that Mock Draft Database has five corners being mocked in the first round, but also has them ranked as top 32 players on their big board says, because sometimes what you'll see is, okay, a bunch of players are being mocked at this position just because the position's important and not because they're great prospects who deserve to be first rounders. It doesn't seem like that's the case. Like, all five of these guys truly seem like first rounders. And I'm saying five just because what the Mock Draft Database has. Do you have it as the same way they see it, five clear first round? I don't know if they're all in the same tier, but five clear first round cornerbacks.
I do. And honestly, I think all these in almost any draft are all first round graded guys. That's how good this draft is with these top five corners. I love this class. I really do. I think it can't go wrong with any of it. Guy you like. So I think it's five, maybe a six will sneak in, but five for sure will go or should go.
All right, so you know what, rather than last week where I was going through their order, I'm just gonna ask you flat out, Jesse, who is the best corner of these five? Who do you want to start talking about first?
Well, he's also my favorite guy in this whole draft, so of course we're not gonna get him, right? Quinyon Mitchell. I love this kid. I love him. Listen, small school prospect. I listened to him talk at the NFL. And, dude, just humble dog kind of kid, went to a small school and he flat out said it. He said he messed around in high school, didn't have the grades to go to better schools because he didn't apply himself. So Toledo was the only school that offered him to come play, and he ended up getting his degree faster than within 3 years. So he is not dumb. He's smart, just didn't apply himself. And his senior year, he could have went anywhere in the country to play. And he, nope, they stuck by me, so I'm going to stick here. You got to love that kind of stuff, man. That's my kind of guy, that loyalty, and he can play. This kid can play. Senior Bowl, he showed everybody that he belongs. So I don't care if he went to Toledo or played in Europe. This guy is awesome. Probably not getting out of the top 15. Big physical, long, fast. He's everything you want in a corner. And he's got Jair swag to him. I love the kid. So he's actually my favorite prospect overall. Not saying he's the best prospect in this whole draft, but he's my favorite.
Which is interesting because, so the way Mock Draft Database has them ranked, he's actually behind another corner. Tarion yep. Arnold out of Alabama is actually the highest ranked on their big board. But according to their consensus mocks, it looks like Quinion Mitchell. I'll have to have a query on how to say all these names. Quinion Mitchell is actually in consensus mocked, taken the first. Currently, Mock Draft Database has the most popular mock draft spot at 15 to the Colts, whereas Tarion mm-hmm. Arnold, his most popular spot is 17 at the Jaguars. So the experts on Mock Draft Database, again, both view them as, in this case, top 12 prospects overall in this class. And then it seems like the way the site has it, the experts believe it's a tier of those two at the top, and then the other three kind of in the tier where, again, it might be more attainable for the Packers. But so you seem to like Mitchell. Experts apparently think the Colts seem to like Mitchell more than Tarion Arnold. Do you think it's close between the two? Do you have Tarion Arnold as the number two?
Yep. Yeah, it's like a 1B to Mitchell. Can't go wrong with either one for sure. I like Arnold a lot too. I actually thought he was a little lighter than he plays. Like when you look at him play, he looks really thick. I'm like, oh, he's like 205, and he didn't weigh in at the combine that much, but he carries his weight well, very aggressive, another just doggy dog kind of guy. I don't think he's number two. I think he's a 1B to Mitchell. So, and I agree with you. They are the two in their own tier, and then it drops off a little bit, but the next three aren't bad at all.
Yeah, so to your point earlier, it feels like Arnold and Mitchell are going to go too early. They'll be unattainable for the Packers. I see it as like Jair. Right? They picked really high the year they took Jair. They're actually able to afford to trade down and still get him. But they got him in, it was still the top 20. So yeah, it feels like these guys are both going to go probably in the first half of the first round. Maybe if they fall out of that first half, it's still going to be top 20 though.
I'm making phone calls. If one of them gets by the Colts and they're both there, I'm making phone calls to trade up for sure. Because I really do think these guys step in and can be on that trajectory like a Jair. I'm that high on these two that they can take their career to that level. And not saying the other ones can't, but I think the overall these two have the most likely to be, you know, Pro Bowl, All Pro type guys.
One thing looking at, though, in this first round that I guess I was going to mention earlier but forgot to is just how many offensive players are going. And so, like, again, projecting the first corner to go off the board at 15. And currently, in Mock Draft Database's consensus mock, that's the third defensive player. According to what the current mock drafts say in terms of the most popular destinations, the top seven picks are all on offense, and then you get a couple of edge rushers going to Atlanta at 8 and then Chicago at 9. But it's another kind of 4 or 5 in a row of offensive players before you get Mitchell and Arnold in another range. And then it starts to mix in, okay, offense, defense, offense. There's less of a streak at one side of the ball or the other. But really, it's kind of looking like most of the top 15 and most of the top first half of the draft is going to be on offense. Like right now, that Mock Draft Database is saying three players on defense will go in the first half of the draft, or the first round anyway, which is pretty crazy. It speaks to, you know, how good the offensive talent is in this draft. Maybe it certainly doesn't seem like there's this can't miss elite defensive prospect that teams are just, this guy is for sure going to be a superstar. It doesn't really have that in this draft, but it still seems like there's a lot of good players. And just because of how good this offensive class is, a lot of these defensive players are going to get pushed down. Mitchell and Arnold, maybe not. But then, to your point, Jesse, the next three corners, they all look pretty good, it seems. all seem worthy of being first round picks, and they all seem like they could be attainable by the Packers. Not that they'll necessarily have all three to choose from. And I suppose there is even a chance that they all, you know, all three of them go before 25 to the Packers. Because right now, Mock Draft Database actually has them as the 20th, 22nd, and 24th overall players. So if we were following just what the Mock Draft Database experts say, Packers might actually need to trade up if they really want to get one of these corners. But how would you rank them 3, 4, 5?
Now, this is tough, man. So it's kind of pick your poison, right? So if you want the true corner that can kind of play the man-to-man, I really disliked how light he came into the combine. Then it came out he was super sick. And then at his pro day, he put on 15 pounds and was still as fast. You're going to take Nate Wiggins, right? I think he's your most physical, gifted outside corner, you know, can man up, play, you know, press man, kind of that. So if that's what you're looking for is a true outside guy to play that position, I think he's probably your best bet. But I don't think he's my favorite out of the three. I think, you know, if you want that Swiss Army knife kind of guy that can play, you know, the Charles Woodson, can go outside, play safety, play nickel, wherever, that's Cooper Jeane. And I think he showed it at his pro day. And this is a month off of not being able to work out. So he was not allowed to, like, do a lot of running and stuff because of an injury. And he runs a 4.3 and just tests out of the gym. He's a good football player, man. This kid could, and he's Iowa, so he's tough, right? You know, those Iowa kids are assignment sure and tough. I don't know where you play him. I almost would rather have him be a safety and then come down and play, you know, the slot or nickel. But I think he's just a hell of a football player. So he's probably my favorite out of the three. And then you got Kool-Aid, which is a great name, right? You just draft him because of the name. It's fun. But
oh, yeah.
Exactly. There you go. I was waiting.
He
for
gets
it.
Drafted. I'm making that joke again. I will kick down a wall to make that joke, apparently. Perfect. Injure myself in the process, of course, since I'm not a magical giant awesome bowl of Kool-Aid. But I'm just a human interrupting Jesse. Sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. So great. He's not the athlete of the other two, right? And that's not to say he's a bad athlete. He just is not the elite athlete of the other two. The other two are really high. I think Cooper was like 9.9 on the RAS score. But Kool-Aid's just you can't go wrong. He's assignment sure. He's an alpha, went to Bama. So, you know, you're playing the SEC. Obviously, his teammate on the other side was a beast also in Arnold. But you just can't go wrong. I think all three can play. It's just it's pick the guy you like and what they can do for you. And that's what I really think after the first two. It's, you know, it's kind of, you know, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I'd go to Jeane, McKinstry, then Wiggins as my rating for me.
Just interesting that Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry both went to Alabama. Kind of a cool sort of, I guess, aids to each other on that in that secondary, helping each other out, I suppose. I'm stretching here. I'm spitting this joke around a little too much. But it's funny because Mock Draft Database, in terms of their expert rankings and their big board, have... So you say DeJeane. I see it, and I want to say Cooper DeJean. So we'll let Goodell tell us on draft night, I suppose. But
right, yeah.
Who knows Cooper actually is the ranked the highest of the three as the 20th overall prospect. Nate Wiggins at 22, and then Kool-Aid McKinstry at 24. And so that's interesting there. But I guess more interesting in terms of the average or most common mock destination for that first round pick for the Packers, it is Cooper DeJean. DeJean Gray? I don't know. No, DeJean Green and Gold. That's who it is, apparently, according to 23% of mock drafts, which isn't huge, but I'm looking at these like in the bottom, like in the outside the top 20, in terms of the biggest popularity of a pick, you get, at least in the first round, basically the highest one is Adonai Mitchell to the Bills. That popularity is at 39%. And then versus the next pick to the Lions, they've got a player we'll talk about later on defense, and it's only in 10% of mocks. So being a 23% popularity is kind of right in the middle. So suppose there's a chance that this is actually what the Packers pick is. It seems like a lot of people doing mock drafts expect them to go with it. And you said it earlier, the RAS score, right? The relative athletic score being so high. That's a Brian Gutekunst pick. You know, a versatile player with a high RAS score, like that's Gutekunst's type. So I totally understand why so many people are mocking Cooper DeJean. I mean, I'm just going to say it like that because I don't care. I do care. I'm sorry. Do you know for sure it's Cooper DeGene? Like I
I
have no idea.
don't. I don't. So I've heard it both ways. I'm just guessing.
Cooper D.
So yeah.
Cooper D. Let's go with that. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
Cooper D could
So.
be in Green Bay with the GB and the G on his helmet. Hopefully, we'll see. But that's
Right.
what a lot of mock drafters are saying right now.
And I think, with Iowa has a lot of ties with Green Bay over the years. We've drafted a lot of Iowa players. Midwest, Green Bay, just kind of blue collar, lunch pail kind of guys. So
Is
I
that
get
where
it. I
Van
get
Ness
it.
went?
Yeah, Van Ness is from there. Mike
Okay.
Daniels is from there. Brian
Yeah.
Bulaga was from there. I
Ooh.
mean, we got
I like a lot of those names.
yes, exactly. So I'm
Cooper
naming the good ones,
DeJean or whatever his
so.
name is. Maybe I like him too.
Cooper, yeah, and he's friends with pretty good friends with Van Ness. They had some
I figured
pictures
they were
together, work,
teammates, yeah.
right? So, yeah, so I could see the fan favorite stuff right there. So,
All right, and looking at their the, again mock draft database big board, they don't have another cornerback ranked as a in terms of overall prospect until number 38, and that player, their most mo popular mock destination is at 42 to the Texans. So seems like mock drafters have a very clear tier of those five. So I think I want to focus this podcast on the first round because so much else is tough to predict, and that's because I think that's the real debate. Where do they go in the first round? So we're kind of, at least for the cornerback and secondary part of this discussion, talking about Cooper DeJean as that potential pick. But just like I mentioned, it's a tier of five at corner. Looking at edge rusher on mock draft database, and this may be a little, I wonder, because we talked about that last week, right? There's a lot of guys listed tackle that you think will actually be interior offensive linemen. So the front guys can be kind of tricky with that. Who's an edge rusher? Who's an interior offensive lineman? That's not always the most clear. But right now, in terms of their edge rushing section, there are four players ranked inside the top 30 as overall prospects on mock draft database. If you look at most popular mock draft destinations, I mentioned that player to the Lions. He's outside the top 30, not by much, number 35. But again, his most popular mock draft destination is to the Lions at 29. So 35th overall, I think he's someone who could be included in this discussion to say that just like corner, it seems like there's five players at the edge rush position that are worthy of being first round picks.
Yeah, and I agree with that. this is a very down year for edge rushers. Last, and not to say they're bad, I'm just saying overall, over the last couple of years, you saw some really high end, and then some depth at edge. And this year, you just don't have it. There's a few guys at the top, but they all got question marks, whether it's health or size or playing time, stuff like that. But it's not like previous years, so. If you want one and they're going to have to matter, you better get one early because, day two and day three, they're projects. And there's a few guys I like in there. Don't get me wrong. There's some sleepers that are later, but they're not going to be guys that you're going to want to throw out there right away and expect some production. They're going to be, year two, year three kind of guys. So if you want one, you better get it early.
They're going to be rotational players. And I mean, to be fair, the Packers kind of did that with Lucas Van Ness last year. Like they didn't play him a ton of snaps. Let's bring him in key situations though, and allow him to rush the passer on third down. And he did get some sacks. There could be kind of those types of, they're not full-time players right from the start. They'll be rotational guys.
And out of these five that you're going to mention, I would say only two of them could probably play three downs right now. I think two of the
And
smaller ones are pass rushers only early, just because of size. So, but that, hey, you get paid big bucks to go after the quarterback, right? There's guys in the NFL that do that right now. So it is what it is. You'll see some specialists early.
I think really early though, I mentioned it earlier, how there were two players right now mocked inside the top 10. And I guess, it's funny you talk about how this is a down year for Edge. There's been differences with this year's draft to others. One thing remains though is Alabama's dominance, right? We talked about two corners in the first round, and it looks like the top ranked edge rusher is also from Alabama. His name is Dallas, but he doesn't go to Dallas and he doesn't get mocked to Dallas either here, but Dallas Turner. Currently, the most popular mock draft destination is number eight to the Falcons, and he is ranked by mock draft database as the eighth best prospect overall. So, do you think Dallas Turner is the best edge rusher in this class?
Not overall. I like another guy better, but as far as complete up, the other guy is going to be a steady Eddie, right? As far as upside, physical freak, dude that jumps out of the gym. And by the way, Dallas Turner's ghost move is unbelievable. I mean, he doesn't even touch guys and they like whiff at him. So it's kind of fun to watch his tape. But he's light, man. It's hard to come in the NFL and play at 6'3", 245 on all downs. I don't care how strong you are. But, you know, he adds 10, 15 pounds over the, yeah, he's young too. So that's good for him. But yeah, I see why he's picked number one. I mean, the kid's up is through the roof. So
and I think Atlanta is a fairly good destination where they could really go for upside in terms of they got a fairly solid foundation to their front seven. They can add an ultimate upside as edge rusher that could help put the defense in the right direction to go over the top. So, like, does it feel like Atlanta is a good destination for Dallas Turner and would be the type of team to do that? And where they currently sit is be the first team to take a defensive player in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to your point earlier about defensive players, those quarterbacks and your tackles and receivers, yeah, you're not going to see a defensive guy till probably, you know, unless Atlanta trades back. But, yeah, perfect fit for Atlanta. You know who really we have? Vic Beasley. And before everybody gets mad, Vic Beasley had a 17 sack season. So the talent was there.
But it's pretty decent with the Falcons, yeah.
Right. You know, these guys are built the same. I mean, this dude's got a 40-inch vertical. That's insane for a defensive edge rusher. But so did Vic Beasley. So I see a lot of the same traits.
You know Gutekunst loves him, but yeah, it seems like he's not going to get the chance to draft him.
Not happening. Right, exactly. But I if Atlanta goes defense, this is probably the guy they're taking. So
now it sounds like the other defensive lineman you take is again that the guy that currently is most common mock spot is a, I guess if you like him a lot, we'd say unfortunately to the Bears at 9th overall. And if he was who you referred to earlier as, you know, not like Dallas Turner, who's just stuck being a third down pass rusher, this player you could say has some verse utility in terms of playing all three downs. If you catch my drift here, I'm talking about Jared Verse from Florida State. I don't know if you're versed in him well enough, Jesse. I'll stop there. It's time to get to the chorus of this. So what do you think of Jared Verse? Is he your favorite edge rusher in this class?
He's not. So he's not. He's my third favorite.
Okay. So you think that, not that these teams are reaching, but that the, you know, these the whoever you like the most might be that guy that falls. Because again, it's mock draft database, just for quick reference, has Verse as the 13th overall prospect. He's being drafted, yep. I guess, a little bit ahead of where the experts on mock draft database think he should go. And I guess maybe that's just Chicago's need for another difference maker at edge rusher now that they have Montez Sweat at that second guy. But it sounds like, hey, so you think, is he another guy that's too light and will be forced to kind of just be playing on third downs for now?
No, I don't. I think he's got the size. He's thick, man. You know, he's not like a ton. I think he weighed in like 256, 257. But I mean, just his build, it looks like he could go up to like 265. Again, super athletic. He went to a small school. I can't think of it right now. Albany, Liberty, something like that. Then he went to Florida State and he just got it done. Really good player. But he's been all over the board. Like some had him, you know, in the top 10 for a while. Then now some mocks are showing him in the 20s. I don't see him falling that far. If you're an edge rusher and you got the size and you got, I mean, he killed it at the combine. His three cone was a little bad. Well, guess what that shows? It's kind of like it's Lucas Van Ness. He's only going upfield. You're not going to ask him to cover guys. He doesn't care. That's what he wants to do. So, yeah, good football player, but he is my number three on my board.
Sorry, but like if he fell, do you think he'd fit the Packers 4-3 new defense that they're changing to?
I do. I think he's more of a true defensive end, hand in the dirt. I don't want him in a 2-point stance. I want him going forward, hand in the dirt. That's so. I think he would fit perfectly on the end.
Again, though, I would say not to get your hopes up for him. Although it sounds like Jesse's not overly hopeful because you have someone else as your top edge rusher. So who is that, Jesse?
So I have a hard time saying this first. Say late two. Now, this kid is probably not going to be a Packer because medicals do matter. About 3 years ago, they told me never play again. He had a neck injury, got hurt, and he sat out of football for a year. And they're like, you're never going to play again. He got different opinions. ended up going to UCLA, and last year his PFF rush numbers were some of the highest they've ever seen. It was like 93 point something. This dude, this is my steady. This guy's Trey Hendrickson. He is athletic enough to do everything. He's got every move in the book. You can't move him. And this is the one that I said, he's a better Preston Smith, saying you're going to get 8 to 10 sacks out of this guy every year. He's going to be awesome against the run. He's not going to be the sexy guy. You know, he's not going to be that 15 sack guy, but he's never going to let you down. He's going to get it done. He's just good. I think the other two, I have higher ceilings, but this guy is just going to come in day one and compete. The medicals are what's going to scare some teams off. But if he wasn't hurt, he's top 10 easy. He's probably your first guy off the board, really, if he never got hurt. So I just love how he plays the game. He's just such a technician. It's amazing.
In a sense, he's almost the opposite of Verse. Mentioned that according to Mock Draft Database, their big board has Verse as the 13th overall prospect, but the most common mock destination is higher than that, 9th overall to the Bears. Laiatu Latu, so I'll make the attempt at it, currently considered the 16th overall prospect, so just 3 spots behind Verse. So the way Mock Draft Database sees it, unlike the way the actual mock drafts are saying, they actually seem to view it as these three in a top tier and then the tier break for the last two, as opposed to the way a lot of mock drafts are going, where it's Turner and Verse in a tier and then Latu joins a couple other guys. Currently, his most common mock spot is 19th to the Rams, which is a few spots lower than his actual big board ranking. So it does seem like maybe you're right, Jesse. He's a guy that he seems great as a prospect, but then the teams might get scared off him, or at least that's what mock drafters are saying right now, is they'll lower him a little bit more than expected. And you go with a team like the Rams, who love to just, I mean, they haven't had a first round pick in forever. So for them, having a first round, their own first round pick going into the draft is like gravy. So you may as well take the upside swing you get in every down starter. Seems like the Rams, in a sense, it makes sense, because they're the type of team that, it's funny because they almost prefer the safe guy. I guess medically he's not safe, but it sounds like game wise he's safe, where as long as he's medically cleared play, you can kind of pencil him in as a starter. And the Rams, because they spend so much money on a few players and typically will end up trading their first round pick, but accumulating other picks later, they sort of have it where a lot of their rookie picks are guys that are going to make the team, because they're spending a lot of money on so few players. Now, Aaron Donald retiring changes that a little bit. They have a little bit more that they can be a bit deeper this year. But most years, the Rams kind of, anyone they draft is expected to at least make the team, even if it is just you're a practice squad guy for a year. But almost everyone that they draft ends up making their team and not just getting cut before their rookie season even begins. So in the way you're kind of describing
it. Well, and with the Rams also, which I...
Well, just like that he's a safe guy. It's that.
Go ahead,
like,
Kyle, again, sorry.
Not medically, but like because he's a safe floor player in terms of skill set, he seems like he would be the type of player the Rams would like. And they'd be willing to take a risk on the medicals, knowing that, again, if he clears, he's pretty safe to be a player on this team.
Right. I think you hit every point, because, you know, these teams get paid medicals, big bucks looking into these guys, because it's huge investments, right? So at 20, perfect Rams pick. You know, look at the year before, they take Brian Young, who's an older prospect, you know, but this guy was game ready. You know, had production in college. Same thing here with Latu. Here's a guy that's a little bit older, but he's already into his frame. I mean, he's had, he had 11 and 13 sacks over the last 2 years. So 24 sacks in 2 years. This guy's game ready. You know, you lose the great, probably be the best, you know, defensive tackle that ever played, really, or debatable up there. And you need pass rush. You bring in this guy, you know, you bring in this guy and you roll the dice on the medicals, but I just love this game, man. It's solid. It's solid as can be. So
now we'll get to the two edge rushers that might be available for the Packers to take. Again, I already kind of mentioned one player's ranking outside the top 30, but being mocked in the most common spot, 29th to the Lions, although only at 10%, so actually pretty low even for this spot in the draft. But there's one guy ranked ahead of him. They're both Robinsons, though. So we've got Demyon Robinson from Penn State, who's the 21th ranked overall prospect on Mock Draft Database and is most popular mock destination is 26th to the Buccaneers, which does say that he'll in likelihood be available for the Packers to take. There's also Darius Robinson out of Missouri. So do you view these two Robinsons as the next two in terms of these top five edge rushers?
They are. So Darius Robinson, about 3 months ago, I just fell in love with this kid back when, it was like the 100th prospect. And then he went to the Senior Bowl and just killed everybody. Like, oh, man.
You were thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe the Packers could get him with either their second round picks. And may not seem like it now, though.
I had him in mock drafts as far back as like 86. I'm like, this guy's going to be a steal. He's going to be a Packer. And now he's going to be a first rounder. Or if he's not a first rounder, very early on day two. So I'll just start with Darius Robinson out of Missouri. So his testing wasn't the best, but he's huge. He's 295 pounds and can play on the outside. So he's going to be a traditional, 4-3 hand in the dirt defensive end that can probably come inside on pass downs. But this guy is just long and knows how to get to the quarterback. And he's got a strip sack that knocks the ball out. He makes plays. SEC guy, right? So you go to Missouri, you're seeing the best tackles and everything in the league in college. And no problem. Goes into the Senior Bowl. Nobody could block this kid. Nobody could slow him down. Had an okay combine. His testing numbers weren't great, but on the field numbers, especially when they did the figure eight, the kid was like the second best one with it. He's got tight. He turns really well. I like him. Unfortunately, yeah, I don't know if I'd like him at 24, especially with other things going on. But as a day two guy, or if we traded up in the second round or something, I'd be all for it. Really good football player. Then on the other side, Chop Robinson from Penn State, the smaller guy, but something the Packers don't have and haven't had since Clay Matthews, that just straight speed dude off the edge. So he's totally different style than what we have. Sometimes you want to have, a few different options. Right now he's completely just a pass rusher. I'm not as high on him. You go back and watch when he played good tackles in college, OSU game especially, they completely swallowed him up. I think he needs to gain some strength and some pass rushing moves. But that's not to say, in a year or two, this guy is going to be a weapon. But right now, I think first round's a little bit early, but you're taking him, later in the first round, all based on what he's going to be, trajectory, right? You're not taking him in round one to be like, hey, this kid's got to start and give me 12 sacks. You're saying, hey, we're going to sign him to a second contract. And this guy's going to be a pass rush specialist. So love the upside, love the athletic ability there. Just a little bit small, but we have our starters. So he would be a guy you could bring in on third down. He'd be kind of fun to watch.
Do you find one of the Robinsons would fit the Packers scheme better? Because I imagine as edge rushers.
Darius.
Darius. That's what I was thinking too. Like, you want the bigger guy who's more of a defensive end than a outside linebacker, if that's what they're transitioning to the 4-3. Yeah, okay. That's
right. And then on passing downs, when you're in sub, you can drop them inside and just have them go beat up on guards that are slow. So, yeah, I'd love to see it.
Okay, so I can see why, again, I think it's Demian, but we'll go with Chop. We'll chop his name and just say that, Chop Robinson. I can see why you're a little hesitant on him. Based on, where the mock drafts are going, it does seem like if there was one dude that was going to be edge rusher going to the Packers, feels like it'd be Demian Robinson. But again, maybe that's why Cooper DeJean is so popularly picked there. It almost feels like he is the perfect Packer in terms of, top player on the board and perfect fit for the scheme. So the more we do this episode, the more I'm kind of excited for Cooper DeJean. If nothing else, just if we can get a full answer on how to say his name.
Right. And I think, I was asked the question, hey, if these guys are on the board at our pick, and it's got Cooper on there, and then you got Chop Robinson and guys like that, who do you take? Well, I'm thinking like, Goot, listen, both these guys are high RAS scores. It's the best value. It's not the best player. It's the best value. Well, we're pretty good at pass rush. We're kind of good. That guy really doesn't fit what, our the size and all that, but Cooper does. And that guy's going to be on the field and eating probably 800 snaps this year. That's where you go. So that's a luxury pick right there then, because you had an option at two really good players and you can get the pick of the two. So,
the versatility of, okay, we can have him replace Anthony Johnson in the starting lineup as a safety. He could replace Keyshawn Nixon Nixon's just a pure backup corner. And with these new kickoff rules, We really want him playing every kickoff, maybe even every punt return, to really make that a difference and have him focus solely on that. That's also, and like, if you know, when he needs 100%. To get in there, we trust him fully to play. Maybe, you know, DeGene. I don't know if he has it in his genes to play nickel corner, but if he does, he, like you said, seems like you think he'd be there. And again, like, if Eric Stokes really isn't coming along and he needs to play the outside, it seems like he can do that as well, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough corners, but you're going to have more corners on the field most of the time than you do pass rushers. Right. So that's why, yeah, I'd rather have that depth be, and with Jair's back, who's to say, you know, that's not going to be a career problem, you know, going forward where it locks up. So yeah, give me Cooper right here. If that was the choice of both of them, but I think Chop's going to have a really good career if he goes to the right place too. He might just be that guy, like, you know, where the Eagles like to have those lighter guys come out and just go after the quarterback, you know, so.
All right, so far the pick is Cooper DeGene. We got to still wait like a whole nother week to find out, but there is still more to talk about this episode. So now, Jesse, defensive line, and specifically interior defensive linemen. Looking at mock draft database, they only have two guys at the interior defensive line spot ranked inside their top 40 prospects, two inside the top 25. So again, maybe if either of these interior guys is available for the Packers, they might be interesting. But what do you think of Byron Murphy out of Texas and Jerzon Newton out of Illinois?
I could see Murphy being just like the typical Packer pick. Let's go with that. He's a workhorse. You know, the guy that is going to get it done. We already have Kenny Clark, but you can, you know, got Wyatt. But hey, let's get this kid because he's really good football player.
You cannot have too many Kenny Clarks. I mean, you might have to. Right, it might be a problem having to pay too many of them, but like actually having them on the team, that could never be a problem. Heck, I'll take 11 Kenny Clarks on the field, even playing corner. I think that would work. That's fine because you have your pass rush would be so elite it wouldn't even matter. I'll take that trade off all day to have four copies of Kenny Clark along the defensive line.
I'm with you. Just put out Kenny Clarks.
Jair. Put you know 10 Kenny Clarks, one Jair. That I think would work perfectly. And then you can add Cooper DeGene and go to 9 Kenny Clarks.
And be great, and just go.
I'm ridiculous. I'm getting ridiculous, folks. You can tell it's the end of the episode.
Murphy's works hard. He's a good player. Got good moves. I really don't like this D tackle class at all. I think they're small. Which when I say small, they're still big men. But like Murphy came in at exactly 6 foot, and he was under 300 pounds. Which under 300 pounds, I'm fine with, especially in an even front. But that under 6 foot, short arms. Now again, he's fast. He's got a good burst, but it's not my cup of tea. So and I like him actually better than Newton. I don't know. I just both of them. I don't see in other drafts with you know with better D line drafts. I don't even think these guys smell the first round. I really don't. And not to say they're going to be good rotational guys, but I would be very disappointed if we took either one in the first round.
Okay, so you really are set on, again, how deep corner and edge are. At least one player at one of those positions is going to be available and take that premium position. And if you need another interior lineman, you get them in the later rounds and then hope Wyatt takes that step up.
Right, and especially with the growth of like guys like Carl Brooks and stuff like that showed a lot of potential. Yeah. I don't see either of these guys taking snaps from him. I really don't.
Rotational guys like we've seen anyway. So get the again right. Back to Cooper DeJean, not to keep wearing these like an old pair of jeans, but like it seems like just the premium position, how well he fits and how good of a player and prospect he is. He does seem you're really selling me now. You're now setting me up that if they don't take Cooper DeJean, I will be disappointed now suddenly. Whereas before it's like, okay, good, they address the defense. I'm happy. Now I won't be. Great, Jesse. Your analysis is too good. It gives me too high a standards.
I'm telling you, if he's on the board, he's going to be a Packer. I really feel that.
Again, I'm hoping all these, you know, this 23% of mock drafters are correct in that. But it's funny how Byron Murphy, he's the 17th overall prospect on mock draft database. I mean, that's three spots ahead of Cooper DeJean. However, He does not have a mock draft landing spot as the most popular, which that doesn't necessarily speak poorly of him, but there's not one team where, oh, he's the common case. Like, there's a chance he like there's some mock drafts. I bet he goes in the top 15. Like, I'm looking at the Saints at 14, who in you know, in terms of their most popular draft pick is the offensive lineman Fashanu at 35%. But you know, maybe like 15% of those drafts, they actually go Byron Murphy to address the interior of that defensive line, which I think also needs help. It's just he and there might be a few, like maybe the Seahawks as well. They also go offensive line with Fontenot 32% of the time in terms of mock drafts. Maybe 20% of the time it's Byron Murphy. So he doesn't have a mock draft landing spot, which is weird to kind of figure out where he's gonna go, but you know, as the 17th ranked prospect, but maybe not at a prime position. I think there's a chance he goes in the top 20, but there could be a chance he's available for the Packers and even falls late in the first. Jazon Newton, he's the 25th overall prospect in their terms of their big board, and his most popular mock draft landing spot is 23 to the Vikings. So in theory, maybe even before the Packers go, but that's again, it seems like they're worthy of being first rounders. It's just Jesse, sounds like you just don't want it to be 25th overall to the Packers with their first rounder.
And I know it's a baseball stat, but the WAR, you know, wins above replacement. And I look at some of these other guys that can be had. Chris Jenkins, probably, you know, in the second, you know, mid-second round. I don't see Murphy or Newton that much better than what you're going to ask from a Chris Jenkins from Michigan. You know, and then you have Rukoruru from, I think I said that exactly right too, by the way, from Clemson, who's only played football for 2 years, so the sky's the limit, and he's a super athlete. So give me one of those guys later.
He sounds like a Packer already. Doesn't know how to play a position. We'll figure it out. Just get the athlete. That's a
just
pure
get
beauty
right.
pick if I've ever heard one.
Exactly. So, and I'd rather go that route. So, again, nothing against these two guys that are probably going to go in the first round in Newton and Murphy, but I just don't want them in Green Bay because I think there's going to be better options for our team.
And so again, you would say D-line is kind of like linebacker and also safety where you don't want it addressed in the first round, but that doesn't mean they won't address it even as early as day two with those that pair of second round picks, 41st overall and 58th overall. And I guess we'll end the episode with this, Jesse. So right now, looking at the linebacker big board on Mock Draft Database, none of these guys are ranked in the top 40, and only two are ranked in the top, or sorry, only three are ranked in the top 85, including though. Another Cooper, but Edgerrin Cooper. It'd be funny they go Cooper DeJean and then Edgerrin Cooper at 41st overall, which right now his most popular mock draft destination landing spot is the Packers at 41 overall. And that one's even more popular than the Cooper DeJean pick. 29% of mock drafts has Edgerrin Cooper as the second player the Packers take with the Aaron Rodgers trade, the first technically being Lucas Van Ness, and then Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker. Just that alone, and we'll talk about the Aaron Rodgers comparison. With do you think Edgerrin Cooper? Because right now they have him as the highest ranked linebacker. Do you think that would be worth it to get Van Ness Cooper? Like, does that make that Rodgers trade worth it?
Yeah, I do. I
I
do.
guess
So Cooper,
Jordan Love being so good makes the Rodgers trade worth it, no matter what. To be fair, but yeah,
right.
sorry.
Yeah, he'd come in and start right away. So he'd be right next to Walker in the middle. Kind of same kind of athlete like Walker. Maybe better instincts right now, but you know, sideline to sideline can fly all over the place. Long, not your old school banger kind of guy, but you know, a guy that's going to chase you down. Why not have two super fast athletes? You know, even if I mean, Walker showed strides, but sometimes he looks lost out there. Cooper might look the same, but you can make up for it when you're a super athlete, right? So, and that's what your second round high athlete, pretty good instincts. Yeah, he's the number one off-ball linebacker in this draft. Why not? Go take a shot at him.
And then there's also Peyton Willis from North Carolina State, and then Junior Colson from Michigan. Peyton Willis is the 44th overall prospect, and Junior Colson the 61st. So, I mean, you know, maybe Wilson also makes sense at that 41st overall, but 58th overall, if they don't go linebacker, would you be okay then with either one of Wilson or Colson as the second round pick at 58th overall?
Yeah, Peyton Wilson, Orange High School, right down the street from me. Actually, knows high school football coach. hard worker, man. A lot of unfortunate injuries in his career. So he's a little bit older prospect, but at NC State, this kid puts guys to the ground.
You know what? It's funny. You talk about injuries, how the, you say, okay, the Packers, they won't take huge risk on medical injuries. Peyton Wilson's most popular mock draft spot is the Eagles, and it feels like they will always do that. They'll always buy the injury dip. So that almost makes sense a lot.
But yeah, just really good athlete. His brother's a professional baseball pitcher for the Brewers. Kind of got a little bit of a connection with him being close. So got a soft spot for him. I think he's a really good football player.
And when he gets to your mind, Jesse, that would, you mean, okay, you know, he's got the mental side. He works hard. He puts in like the effort. I think that's at least a high floor player that, you know, can be a professional. Is the ceiling there to excel and be a starter and truly be a difference maker? Don't know. But like sometimes, especially even as early as the second round, you kind of go for the guys you know will be pros. Again, the Rams mentality, we expect every one of these draft picks to be on the team. So we're not just going to take someone, a flyer, just because they have good traits if we don't think they're a really good football.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, and that's, like you said, the mental toughness has got to be there. So you're going to get it with them. And Junior Colson, he is your thumper. He is your tone setter, a little bit more old school. He's a hell of a football player too, man, out of Michigan. So he's a little bit different than the other guys where they're the more sideline to sideline. But, hey, we sucked against the run for so long. This guy, you put him in the middle, especially with three off-ball linebackers, you let him play in the middle and the other two kind of fly around, and you'll be okay. So, again, none of them, I don't think, are first-round picks. But, you know, somewhere in the second round, if we took any of them, I'm fine with it. That's kind of, you know, your off-ball linebackers – don't get paid like other guys, unless you got a great one, right? But in the NFL, you can probably count on one hand how many are actual, oh my God, you need that guy, you know? And then the rest of them, you just make do. So plug and play, man. And I think all three of these guys would be fine.
And then one last position, safety. Currently, the Packers mock draft. Again, if we go by the consensus, it would go Cooper DeJean, Edwin Cooper at 41st overall, and then Cooper DeJean in the first round. And currently the most popular pick for the Packers at 58th overall is safety Jaden Hicks. Now only 11% of mocks have it. So, and again, at the later you get in the draft, the harder it is to predict. So it's not that uncommon to see it go down like that. But not to make Packers fans panic when you say, oh, defensive back first and second round. I know, I think of flashbacks to Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins. Oh God. Doesn't seem like these prospects are that, at least. But what do you think about Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, the safety?
Man, I don't know. He had a really good game against the Badgers, I'll tell you that. So that's about the most I know about him. He flies around. He's very physical. But this safety class is a lot to be desired, I'll tell you that. It's very rough.
It might make Anthony Johnson look better. Sorry.
It would. And Rudy Ford, I'd throw him in the mix too and give him another shot. Again, if you get these guys, you know, round three, you know, maybe get them, you know, in day three, sure, take a flyer on them. But man, it's not a good class. And yeah, just a lot of the guys didn't test well. Kind of rough. But hey, who knows? We'll see.
I guess that's why it was even more important to go sign Xavier McKinney then.
Exactly.
Address the position. And I think we've addressed at least the first couple of rounds in terms of what the Packers might do during the NFL draft. And of course, our next episode will be recapping the draft, so stay tuned for that. You can follow us along on X at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212, and I'm at Senra Says. Also want to shout out PA the Second on X at @PA_II_Official. He lets us use the song Odaewu as our intro and outro music. But Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
No, man, I just hope everybody enjoys the draft. Hopefully Green Bay comes out with a really strong class, and go Pack, go.
Absolutely, go Pack, go. Go make those picks, go pick, go. I don't know. I'm sure they'll make much better decisions than I just made with that outro. However, come listen to us talk after the draft next time. Full Press Packers Pod.